beginning of a new year provides a unique opportunity for people to evaluate their lives, to take a look at where I am in my life in the present tense, and where it is that I want to be. An opportunity to figure out if I'm on the right road, the road that I choose to walk because of the future consequences, good and bad. For instance, the top five New Year's resolutions for this year are these. Number one is to lose weight. Number two is to save more money and spend less. Number three is to learn a new skill or a hobby. Number four is to quit smoking. Number five is to read more. Well, again, these are resolutions, hopes, intents. They are plans to walk in a certain way down a certain road as I evaluate my life because of future blessings or consequences. Well, as a people in general, that's fine. But as a Christian, there are realities in our life that dynamic of New Year's resolutions, evaluating where I am, also have application. The Bible is filled with passages that stress the need for you and me to take a look inside and to evaluate who I am as a believer, where I am as a believer, and where it is that I am headed. I'm a great time just to say, Lord, help me understand where it is I am with reference to where I want to go. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. He says, firstly, you've got to test your heart. Have you really been born again? Jesus said that the way is narrow that leads to heaven, and the way to hell is wide. We need, first of all, to test, to determine, is my faith real? Have I truly been born again? Am I a Christian? And will I end up in heaven when I die? James 1, 23 through 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Here James says, not only ought we to test our hearts to see if we are of the faith, but we also need to test our faith to see if it is producing holy fruit. If my life as a believer is producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, there is action in my life. There is reality to my life. There is application of the word in my heart. And God produces that holy fruit. It will either be holy fruit being produced, or it will be fruit of the flesh. The Bible gives clear identification for each. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? If you are a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, here's what will happen. Through your life, God will produce love. You will be becoming more and more a person of love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Goodness. Faithfulness. Kindness and self-control. The works of the flesh, then, is when we let our heart, which is so deceptive, when we allow our heart freedom to do what the heart of flesh wants to do. And king of the works of the flesh, selfishness and pride. So James says, test your works. Test your life. In Galatians 6, 3 through 5, says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each shall bear his own load. Test yourself. Are you proclaiming yourself to be something that in fact you are not? Test yourself for hypocrisy. Test yourself. Let the Spirit of God open your heart. Are you living as a hypocrite? So again, we could go on and on through the scripture, finding many, many places where we're told to test ourselves, examine ourselves, to let God speak to us and determine who we are, where we are, and what path upon which we walk. But the point in all of this is that if we get serious about spiritual renewal in 2019, if we are committed to break that cycle of being spiritually stuck year after year, of a spiritual picture being taken of us in 2014 and a spiritual picture being taken of us in 2019, and they look virtually the same. There's a way out of that spiritual slide. And if you will be committed to breaking that cycle, if you will get serious about spiritual renewal, then this morning I want to share with you the process that God will take you through to find that life of spiritual purpose and that life of godly fulfillment that is promised in Scripture. Now, our guide this morning that will take us through this process that is needed in my life and yours to break out of that spiritual lethargy and to move into the fullness of God's purpose, the leader for us this morning is going to be Moses. I want to share with you a brief series called Testing Times, God's Call, Our Response. Testing Times, God's Call, and Our Response. You remember the story of Moses. His family living in Egypt, Pharaoh became nervous and scared about the Hebrew people, them taking over, and so he commanded that all male Hebrew babies be put to death. Well, Moses' mom was not going to do that, and so Moses, as a baby, she put him, you remember, in a basket in the Nile River, and he floated down the Nile until he ran into, of all people, the daughter of Pharaoh. Well, Moses was raised then, adopted as Pharaoh's daughter's child, raised in wealth, raised in privilege, raised within that elite ruling class of the Pharaoh. However, we find that Moses never lost touch with his own people. Moses remembered who he really was. And the story is that one day Moses saw an Egyptian man beating up on a Jewish man, and Moses couldn't take that, and he went over and he killed the Egyptian man. And then he ran. He took off and ended up in the wilderness of Midian. For 40 years, Moses lived in the wilderness of Midian. And there he found his wife, and he got a great father-in-law, a man named Jethro. Jethro was a kind of mentor to Moses, and God brought these two together for a purpose to strengthen Moses. So Moses kills the man in Egypt, and then he flees, he runs so that he's not captured and held accountable. He runs into this wilderness area where nobody's going to try to come find him. And there he meets his wife. And he's now in with a good family. For 40 years then, Moses tended the livestock of his father-in-law. He was a shepherd. For 40 years. I imagine he was content. I imagine he thought, this is, my life. I could have stayed in Egypt and could have been a part of that elite class and lived out that life of privilege, but that really wasn't what I wanted. And anyway, once I, you know, the anger overcame me and I killed that Egyptian man, I'm in trouble. And so he assumes the life of a shepherd there in Midian, and he's good with it until one day God decided, Moses, you're going to come with me. Please hear me carefully. Moses was just sitting there in the wilderness of Midian, one day like the other, just living out his life, just doing what he had to do, just accomplishing what Jethro demanded of him, when suddenly something catches his eye. It's a burning bush, but the bush was not being consumed by the fire. And so it was an odd, weird, unusual thing. And so Moses kind of investigated and he stared at it. And then suddenly, God spoke through that weird bush. There are three experiences or three encounters that Moses had with God through that bush that I want us to touch on this morning. God calls out to Moses from that burning bush. And it's, you don't have to have a PhD in religion to know that God used that burning bush to get Moses' attention. I don't know what he's going to use in your life. I don't know what he might do. It might be through a doctor's diagnosis. And suddenly, God gets your attention. It might be through a financial crisis in your family. And what was one day like the other, you're just living out life. And now suddenly, something has grabbed your attention. It might be marital problems, marital issues, divorce-related things. It might be a wayward, rebellious teenager or child that through that, God gets your attention. God can use and will use anything. But the point is this, he knows you. He knows what buttons to push. He knows what will make you turn from the activity of the world to that incident. God will get your attention. You see, one of the problems with living on the backside of the wilderness, the backside of the desert, although Moses didn't feel at home, he didn't feel that this was that he belonged, and we know that because he named his first son Gershon, which means I'm living in a land I don't belong. Backside of the desert. Maybe you know something about that. You have this sense inside that I'm here. I'm not sure how I got here. I'm not sure of the circumstances involved, but I'm here, yet I don't feel it's the right place. I don't feel it's the right time. I just had this sense that there is something more, that there is another life that I'm supposed to be living. But I don't know how to get there. And so I'm just in the midst of living out life right now. In effect, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for God to do something. I'm waiting for God to show me something. I'm waiting so that I can live this other life that I feel I'm supposed to live, that will be the life of fulfillment, will be the life of joy, will be what God wants me to be. And so I just live out my life right now waiting on God. It is extremely important to realize that when God steps into your life, when God intervenes in life on the backside of the desert, when God ignites that bush for you and begins to speak out of that bush, it's very important to realize that in Moses' life, that backside of the desert experience was a necessary precursor to finding the fulfillment of God's purpose. And so God steps into his life, speaking out of that bush, and he says to him, Moses, take off your shoes, because the ground you're standing on is holy. This is the second step in the process. The first step is God gets our attention so that we will turn to him and hear him when he speaks. And then that second word, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes of sin. Now, of course, Moses' shoes were just symbolic of his sinful life. The point that God was making was this: Moses, if you're going to follow me, Moses, if you're going to draw near to me, Moses, if your life is going to change because I walk with you, there's something that we've got to get straight from the very beginning, and that is this: Moses, I am Yahweh God. I am that I am. Moses, I am holy. I am separated from the sinful world. I am something other than what they are. I am Yahweh God. I am the Lord. The Lord. Emphasize the Lord, your God. And let me tell you who I am. I am holy. And if you walk with me, you've got to understand you're walking with a holy God. So Moses, take off your shoes. I don't know how many times that God has intervened in your life and he has stepped into your world and he has gotten your attention and he begins to call you and draw you, and then it all stops. Because you consider taking off your shoes upon holy ground as a cost you're unwilling to pay, as a sacrifice you're unwilling to make. Does this make sense to you? When God calls and God draws and God whispers and God invites, he says, first, you have to deal with the sin in your life. God will first get your attention, and then he'll draw. And if you are unwilling and not ready, that offer will close. Because you see, the third encounter is Moses, I've got a plan for your life. Moses, I have a life for you to live. Moses, the life I'm inviting you to will be radically different than the life you've been living on the backside of the desert for the past 40 years. It is a life that will fulfill my purpose in your life. It is the life that you know is there. It is the life that the Spirit of God affirms to you over and over again, that there is that life to be lived, the fulfillment of God's purpose for creating you, and yet the door begins to close because you simply are unwilling to take off your shoes and stand with God on holy ground. There really is that life of purpose. And I want to help you find it, because I want you to begin to express it through the life of this body. You know what ministries are? They are ministers, i.e. you. They are ministers doing the call of God. That's what ministries are. So ministers, minister. Take off your shoes and let God open that door for you. Take off your shoes in repentance, in humility, in brokenness of heart and spirit. And let that go. Take off those blooming shoes that are keeping you from that life.